Welcome to WoW Geekly, a brand spanking new podcast where myself, Asheo, and my illustrious partner in crime, Jippy, engage in a deadly serious discussion of World of Warcraft. Okay, not so much. Friendly banter about the game we love to love with a touch of tangential geekiness. Today is 2003, September 4, and you have your ears wrapped around episode 0. Hey, Jippy.
Yes. Can I just say, you did say 2003, but that's okay.
Did I?
You did. Apart from that,
well,
you went smooth as ice.
I thought maybe we could just slip it in and no one would notice, and we'll say, oh yeah, we've been around since 2003.
Yeah. Mm. We predicted WoW being launched.
Oh, we did. We knew. We had beta alpha access to 5.4. And I'm predicting that's going to come out on September 10th, 2013, would be my call.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've actually spent some time living with Mike Morheim, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
When he used to do customer support.
Well, all he's been making me do is his gardening. I'm not happy. Hey, Jeppy, what's special about the number 0? Because this is episode 0. You're not special about the number 0?
Oh, tell me. I'm all a quiver.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nada.
Oh, dear. Mm. You didn't find anything on Wikipedia?
No, I did look. And it said stuff that was like hard to understand. And I thought, ooh, that's probably a little too geeky for the first 2 minutes of the podcast.
Could have been even geekier, because what did you want to call this episode?
All right. I did want to call this episode -1. I'll admit it. And then you got all iTunes numbering on me and went, oh. And
I flooded with a load of technical bollocks and you went, okay.
What? iTunes wants to know how big the file is and wants numbers and stuff. What is this? A computer?
How many bytes is this file? In bytes. Oh, great.
With or without stop bits and parity. So this isn't going to be a normal show. This is a seeding show, a pilot show, an episode 0. It's many things to different people.
It's abnormal.
But it does introduce us. It gives us a chance to say who we are and what we're doing here. Why don't you kick us off? Who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you? And what the hell are you doing in my ear? Well, as Asheo pointed out, my name is Jeppy, or El Jeppy. The Jeppy on the Twitters, and I am a WoW player pretty much exclusively. I'm trying to think of if there's any other games that I play more than WoW, and of course there's not. So.
No.
Slightly older than the average WoW player, I guess, although within our little group, I'm probably one of the younger ones.
I'd really love to know what the average age of WoW players is, because it's... It's a game that does have a lot of older players in it.
It does. And every time I meet somebody new and they go, well, I'm 59. And I'm like, oh, goodness, really? I feel like a young whippersnapper.
Well, I think I'm old, and the guy that introduced me to this game is 10 years older than me.
So it certainly does span the ages, the game. And
goes back to 2003, apparently.
Oh, when we got the beta alpha, yeah. But the great thing about it is that it does seem to appeal to many, many, many different people. Obviously, anybody between the ages of 14, which, as I understand, is the minimum age you can be to play the game.
Yeah, right.
You're right. And yet, between 14 and about 16, they play Alliance, and then everybody else plays Horde.
If they can start clicking on the little fishing bobber, they can start playing at 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, that is the first thing my children and cousins and all the others learn. Click on the bobber. Click on the bobber. Shouldn't you be teaching him his alphabet? Shut up, you. Click on the bobber.
Yeah, you get to learn the alphabet, because then when you catch a fish, you go, what does that say? Golden carp. See?
There you go. Education. There's a smarty.
And my name, I'm Asheo. I said that already, didn't I?
In the introduction, but that was quite some time ago, so people may well have forgotten.
And I don't actually recall. I didn't know at some point. I think I'm younger than you. I may be older.
I think you're younger.
All right, then. We'll say I'm younger. I'm the young one of the group. There we go. I'm happy with that.
That's
And
fantastic.
I've played WoW more than I play any other game for quite a number of years now. Probably since it came out, in fact. Way back in vanilla.
Were you a beta? Proper beta
No,
user?
no, I didn't actually know about the game until after it got released.
Me neither. I wasn't a proper beta. In fact, I didn't actually. I think I must have started playing just after Burning Crusade was launched, although I didn't have Burning Crusade at the time.
Right.
So I'm still in the vanilla world.
So that's why you still love Blood Elves, because they're new to you. You couldn't
They
handle
are.
Blood Elf at
They
the
are.
start.
I only actually got Blood Elves this time last month, so it's good. I am a little bit behind the curve, as we will discover as the show goes on. But yeah.
We will. So we must say, for people that don't know, we both come from another WoW podcast called Control-Alt-WoW, which is hosted by Aprillion and still hosted by us as of right now.
Yeah, technically speaking, if you want to get a slice of the Shayo and Jeppy, you're going to get two this week. So.
Oh, yeah, double trouble. We're going to have a little bit of a background on our gaming history and what our credentials are for being here doing a WoW podcast. So for myself, I've loved games since I could get my hands on a controller, and I don't even know what the first system was that I had, but it was Pong, and it was a long time ago, and I've just got my hands on any sort of game and gaming console that I could play with since a very young age, and spent many an evening of during, oh, it was probably high school, I guess, with the old Commodore VIC-20.
Oh,
and not just playing games on it, but actually attempting to write games and hack games. And
that's how that Julian Assange started.
Yeah, that's right. I could be Julian Assange today.
Could be holed up in an embassy waiting to get deported.
Is he still there? Is he still in the embassy?
In the Ecuadorian embassy.
That's crazy. You want to hope that they've got a games room, wouldn't you?
I don't think they do. I think that they may well have Pong. I think I did hear they had an Atari 2600.
Ah, right. Lucky.
But that is the cutting edge of the Ecuadorian gaming, unfortunately.
Very good. And I've had many a handheld device. I remember saving up for what seemed like an eternity to get a handheld Pac-Man device that was just awesome. Just to be able to carry around my own little mini Pac-Man game. Oh, I got my money's worth out of that, I can tell you.
Did it fall to pieces eventually?
I don't know what happened to it. I really don't. It's a long lost memory from my childhood.
It's probably passed through several hands. It's now on eBay for $4,000.
Probably. But yeah. I'm really disappointed that I didn't keep. I threw it out in the garage sale. I'm really disappointed that I didn't keep my VIC-20. And my 8K RAM expansion cartridge, so that I could actually load games off the tape drive that was connected to it.
Oh yeah, the old tape drive, all nicely molded plastic, was lovely. Yeah. You know, I can now confirm that I'm older than you, because I used to sell VIC-20s.
Ah well, definitely older.
You know, my very first sort of Saturday job, I worked in the computer department inside a big department store. And I used to have VIC-20s and Commodore 64s and Spectrums and Amigas, the original Amiga.
So I think it was primary school, because I seem to remember, no, it couldn't have been, it must have been high school. I seem to remember going around to my then best friend's place, and he got a Commodore 64 with a floppy drive. I was like, oh my God, how do I get you one of them?
Yeah,
very envious of his Commodore 64 and the greatly increased screen resolution on his TV.
They were very sought after. I remember people used to come in and you could see their eyes light up as they saw the 64s on display.
Yeah,
knowing full well that they weren't in that sort of price range, because they were bloody expensive at the time.
Done.
And then their mum saying, "Ooh, no." And they're looking at the ZX81s. I don't think it's the ZX81. The old, I think it's Sinclair here, but it was Timex in other parts of the world.
Right.
And this nasty, vicious sort of membrane keyboard and a big chunky white back to it. And When you played any sort of game, the sprites were actually letters, so you were shooting V's at zeros. There was no sprites that you could develop, use defined sprites.
Oh, the awesome resolution. Yes, and
But at the time, to our young eyes, these were like NASA. This was like cutting edge. Well, it was cutting edge.
it
I'm not saying
was.
it's like cutting edge, but it's hard to remember just how impressive compared to obviously today's machinery these machines were to our young eyes. And
Exactly.
it would be a nice feeling to get back sometimes.
And even, once we started buying PCs and actually had a true IBM compatible PC, a personal computer.
That
Even
was the important thing,
those
IBM compatible.
that weren't so compatible. Compatible-ish
Yeah.
back in
But
those
what was the
days.
important bit was that they weren't IBM and they didn't cost you $6,000.
Exactly. That was the important bit. But I don't actually remember what my first one was, but the first one that I remember buying that I was so proud of was a 386 that had a math co-processor on it as well.
The X, yeah.
By
Oh
gee.
yeah, that's right. They were a separate thing, weren't they?
They were separate.
If
And
you
I
want
remember.
to, you can get the computer, but if you want to do maths,
Oh, yeah.
we'll stick another chip in.
But they sold me because they said, well, boys and girls, computer games, that's all about maths. So you need it to play games. So I want one of those. I don't know. I don't remember how much RAM was in it, but it had extended memory. It might have gone to over a megabyte.
It is hard to go back. And although it is some time ago, it's not that long ago. It's not that long ago that we measured disk space in megabytes and
Yeah, I
the
mean,
idea of
we're
having anything.
talking, late 80s.
Yeah.
It's not that, it's really not that long ago.
Leaps and bounds, leaps and bounds. So what was your first sort of PC gaming experience?
I was a lot into the adventure type games,
Oh, yeah.
text dungeon crawlers. I had a, I liked those a lot, but also liked all the arcade type shooters. I spent a lot of time in arcade, the penny parlors growing up. So, to be able to get those games and play them right there in your lounge, bonus. Not sticking
Yeah.
the 20 cents in the slot every 20 seconds.
Well, when you were talking about handheld, I never got a Pac-Man one, but I did get I say handheld, but it was actually a bit hefty. Was a Space Invaders thing with a big round type plastic screen and the joysticks and all the buttons and stuff. And I remember kicking the crap out of that for many, many years. I did get the Atari 2600 when we were a bit younger, and in with a few games. I mean, if you look at those games now, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent so much time playing them. But they were absolutely amazing. And the playability, continued playability of all of them was fantastic. I mean, sometimes I think we're very spoiled in this day and age,
Oh,
aren't we?
we're extremely spoiled now.
Like, I remember we had this one where it was like dogfighting, and me and my brother suddenly had this huge bout of sickness where we were off school for about a week with an undefined cough and stomach condition.
Oh dear.
But every time my mum went off to work, we were back on the old
Yeah.
Atari
Oh,
playing dogfight.
you're always well enough to play computer games. You never want to be sick enough that you can't play a computer game. That's
That's right.
like deathbed type sick.
We did have a thing called a grandstand console, which I think is a lot of generic consoles had the Pong game on it and a type of football game.
Oh, okay.
And what we did,
Never
what
had
we
one of
discovered
those.
was discovered that the actual ball, the square block, because they couldn't make it round, it had to be square, could only go in certain paths. There was only certain paths it would go. It wasn't able to move all over the screen. It would have to go
Right.
in a certain
And it
direction.
burnt that path into the image on your television.
Well, before it did that, what we did is get some tracing paper and we stuck it over the television and we drew all the paths that it could possibly take. So after a while, the game was pointless because once we knew that it had taken a certain angle, we knew where it was going to end up. So you just move your, You'd move your cursor down there and it would be there, and then, you know.
You clocked it. High score every time.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good.
So that was my first cheating. And like I said, I was working in this actually called Green's Electrical, part of the Debenhams store. And at that time, as you were saying, the VIC-20 came with a tape player. That was the only way you delivered games. Cassette deck, yeah. The only way you delivered games into the computer. And it was the same for the ZX Spectrum, which was my first real home computer. And working in the store, we used to get all the games in, and they were just tapes, audio tapes. So in the store, there was a double tape recorder. So the new game would come in, slip the game into one side of the tape recorder, slip the blank cassette into the other. And that's your first pirating.
There you go.
That's it. That was your first time round. And not only that, but because of the way that the loading worked on the Spectrum, and I imagine it was the same with the Commodores, you could put 30 games on a C90, you know, or however many you wanted on there, as long as you had a gap between each one, and you could find it, and you had to write down the, you know, like each cassette player had like a little number, like 3 digits, and you could see where you were in the cassette if you set it at 0 at the beginning.
Yeah.
So you'd say, okay, well, Sherlock, the game Sherlock is at number 48, or The Hobbit. I used to play The Hobbit a lot. I love the game. It's number 92.
That's right. I've forgotten.
So my pirating career started early.
Well, well done.
Yeah. Actually, I got fired from that job. That may have been part of it.
A vague memory of the copy protection that was on the floppy disks for this Commodore 64 was something like they deliberately wrote bad blocks to it so it couldn't be read.
Yeah.
But the original ones knew how to skip over it, so you couldn't copy them. And it was pretty early on that applications started coming out that would just go, oh, yeah, skip over that.
Some of the Spectrum games would come with manual, a booklet about the game. The copy protection was that you had to find, it'd say page 7, word 12. So if you didn't have the manual, which, of course, you wouldn't have if you just copied the audio, you know, you wouldn't be able to find it. And, you'd have to type in that word. But, of course, as soon as bulletin boards and stuff like that came along, there were cheat sheets for all those things.
Right, so. Yeah. Very good.
It's nice that crime very quickly followed the introduction of all these wonderful computer things.
So. As it does. Which fast forwards us to a whole lot of Blizzard titles. So I was a big Diablo and Diablo 2 player and lots of games like that. Neverwinter Nights. Spent a lot of time playing all those. So it was a very natural progression for me to jump into World of Warcraft. Which has got pretty good copy protection because it's all online. Blizzard aren't stupid. And they've been happily taking my money every month for many a year.
Yeah, and you don't even complain. It's like, yeah, but you handed me a bank account. Yep. I'm happy, that's fine.
We got have me this money's worth.
Agreement between us.
That's right.
Yeah. Certainly getting your hours worth out of it. I mean, my gaming up until I started playing WoW was not very MMO, it was very much a first-person shooter.
Right. WoW was my first MMO as well.
Yeah. I did dilly-dally around with a few other things, EverQuest and a few other bits and pieces. I mean, I got to a point where I suddenly had tons of time, and most games would not keep me entertained for that length of time, so an MMO seemed the sensible choice to make. And I did try several others before I settled on WoW as my game of choice. As far as other Blizzard games, I was quite into the RTSs, not just the Warcraft ones, but other RTSs as well. Enjoyed all those, particularly the world building ones, the Age of Empire type ones. Enjoyed all that. And as part of my career, I have worked on ships, and so a lot of the time would be spent playing Doom and various other things.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Doom, of course.
Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Wolfenstein.
The things that you carry around on a floppy.
Yeah, well, I actually had the privilege of being able to play games on, I forget which Mac, it was either like the first Macintosh or an Apple IIe. It's one of the early Macs, and we had computer labs at university. And we were like one of the first years that had the Macintoshes in the labs. So, yes, there was quite a large collection of 3.5-inch floppies that that circulated around, and basically everybody just, I must have spent, I lost track of it, of how long I sat there playing Lode Runner on the Macintosh.
There weren't a ton of games on the Macintosh, though, were there? For a long time, Macintosh wasn't very gaming friendly.
I don't remember a lot of them, but the ones that I do remember, they were like really, really good games.
Yeah. I think the ones that made it across that platform were the creme of games.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, the amount of dodgy games that appeared on the PC, really, really, really dodgy, especially when you could slap it onto a 3.5-inch floppy, you know, it was pretty bad. But I remember having the discussion about buying a Mac or buying a PC when the choice was there, and the guy saying, listen, if you're into art and you're into music, and you want to publish a magazine, there's your Mac. If you want to play games, there's your PC.
PC.
Yeah, so I've pretty much been PC since then, really. Although I have used Macs in the past, I've never really played games with them. So, bringing us up to date, I guess I started, like we said before when we were talking about who we are, started playing WoW just after Burning Crusade launched. And like I share, haven't looked back. I don't think there's probably quite recently, actually, a 2-week hiatus where I actually wasn't paying Blizzard for the privilege of playing their games.
Yep.
But that was just an error more than anything. Even in the times when I've actually not physically been playing on a regular basis, I've still paid
subscribed.
Blizzard just for the damn privilege of being part of their family.
You never know when you're going to want to log in and check your mail and check your auctions.
And there's that awful 10 minutes between you logging in and it's saying your prepaid time has run out and you having to go onto their site and type in your credit card number or get your PayPal organized. 10 minutes can pass before you're actually back online. So, you know, you don't let that bugger out.
Those days are long behind me, mate. I just say, here you go. Just take my money when you need it.
Yeah.
Don't want to see that message anymore.
Just take 2 years' worth and leave me alone.
You're about due for another annual true-up.
Yeah. They are. Yeah, we need one of those.
We need one of those for sure.
I wonder what we'd get.
Well, we won't get Diablo 3 on the PlayStation because that came out this week.
Came out yesterday, didn't it? Or day before? Xbox as well, is it?
I believe so. I haven't bought it. I don't have an Xbox. I've only got a PS3, but I haven't even bought it for the PS3 yet. But I think I'll probably pick it up on the weekend and have a crack.
I can see Diablo being way more entertaining as a console game than I found it as a PC game.
I think so.
It feels quite console-y.
Yeah. Dungeon crawlers, to me, feel console-y. PCs feel, you know, you need a lot more controls and functions and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine WoW ever being a console game.
No.
There's just too many functions and buttons and interaction and everything. So
not only can I not imagine it ever being a console game, I cannot imagine the level of backlash from the WoW community if it ever were to be. It talk about your WoWmageddon. That would be, forums would just go, that would be the end.
but they'll go, what are you talking about? You all just play a mage with two buttons. What do you need any more for?
That's right. Yeah. That's your trigger buttons covered. Come on. Well, before we start disparaging other classes and their lack of complexity, I suppose we should also talk about our geek and podcast credentials.
Well, let's do that then, will we? Let's have a chat about our geek cred and our podcasting cred.
Very important in this day and age to get good geek cred.
Yeah, not sure that I've got too much credit. Why am I geek? I had a think about this before we started recording, and I think it's something that's actually difficult to nail down. When is a person a geek and when is a person not a geek? I mean, are all gamers geeks? I think there's probably exceptions to the rule.
I think some gamers, particularly console gamers, would not like the word geek.
Yeah, I mean, historically there's been a lot of negativity towards that term, but yeah, more recently it's has a lot less negative connotations, and in fact, a lot of people are proud to be called a geek, me included.
They are. Geeks rule the world.
We do. So I think I'm a geek for things like, well, for a start, I sit in front of a computer for, except for when I'm sleeping, I'm probably sitting in front of a computer or a television a very small amount of the time. My job involves computers. You would think, well, somebody that sits in front of a computer and uses a computer and does that all day, the last thing they're going to want to do when they go home is sit in front of a computer. Well, not so, my friend, not so. I'm a big fan of technology and computers and can't get enough of it. If I'm not sitting in front of my computer, then I'm probably sitting there with my iPad or some other kind of geeky little technology product.
You've got your phone there with all the stuff on there. And
Yes,
you
phone.
said the iPad.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think geeks, I think I could sound geek as somebody who's permanently connected as well.
Yep.
In the, you know, the idea of being disconnected from the internet or the World Wide Web or whatever you want to call it is anathema. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's like a second brain, really.
Right. And I think there's also got to be, without going into too much penis envy, I mean, there's got to be how many computers and what? How many computers and things do you have?
Yeah.
So, I've got my monster desktop machine with the two big monitors that I do most of my gaming on. I've got two laptops. I've got a MacBook. I've got the PS3, my iPad, my iPhone. There's a few computery type things around me. There's an Android tablet sitting in front of me that I haven't turned on in months. I think that's got to count somewhat towards your geek cred.
Yeah, I think you should certainly get points for most of those things, except the Android tablet. No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. Because I have an Android tablet that's gathering dust. Once an iPad came in and kicked it out of the roost,
That's true.
said, "See ya." Sorry, this thing is so gorgeous. I'm apologizing
On
to
your
the
bike, you big old
tablet.
clunky bugger.
The annoying thing is that the Android tablet has one of my other Battle.net account authenticators on it. Although it's one that I very rarely use. Occasionally I do need to pop in there and transfer some characters off and do other bits and pieces. And so countless times in the past few months I've had to go and say, oh bugger, it's not charged now. I have to go and charge it up again because it's just been
Before you
left
log
gathering
into it.
dust. Yeah, that's
So
right.
I'll give you two more credentials and then it's your turn. So one, I love numbers. I can remember numbers and associate things with numbers a lot easier than I can anything else. Faces, names, somebody says here, remember this number. I'll remember it. If somebody comes up to me and says, "Hi, Jim," 15 seconds later, I go, "Shit, what was his name again?" Complete, no idea. Can't for life me remember. And the
It
other
must be so
thing,
annoying that people aren't named after numbers,
that's
though.
right. I mean, to me,
What's your social security number, mate? I don't need to know your
to me, you're 1224. So,
name.
and
Actually,
the
that's
other
not many
thing.
miles away from my birthday, so that's quite cool.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, people could be their birthdays. You can be, when your birthday is, but you can be 03, 07, 65 C. You'd be the third person
Yeah.
born on that day. That'll be fine.
So is that just something that your brain just hooks on to
Yeah,
numbers
I
and
think, yeah, the brain works in funny ways. And I think it's got a lot to do with working in computers and have working with a lot of numbers and having to remember them. You just the synapses fire in a particular way and help you get the job done.
that kind of
Job done.
explains why you wanted to number these episodes in binary.
There was that, yes. I did want to do
That
that.
brief flirtation with major geekiness.
I got rolled eyes from everybody that I mentioned today. Wouldn't that be cool and unique to
That'd be
number the
so cool.
episodes in binary?
What was one of your big arguments that we'd get to know from number 10 very quickly?
Oh, we'd get to episode 10 before you knew it. How good's that?
Yes.
my email signature, and I still use it in some places on forums and things for many years, has been there are 10 type of people in the world, those that understand binary and those that don't. So because when you read it, it looks like 10. And I've had people that will come back to me like years later and go, I just got that. I just learned what that means.
It wasn't that long ago that I did exactly that. I went, oh.
So funny. And the last thing, I feel like I'm stealing all the limelight here, but the last thing was whenever I got something, whether it was a cheap $2 thing or a $300 calculator, the first thing I had to do was pull it apart and see how it worked and see whether I could put it back together again.
And you were able to put it back together?
And yeah, pretty much without fail, I'd get it back together again.
Okay. I've met people that can pull it apart but have no idea how to put it back together.
Where'd this bit go? Ah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So yourself, my Pommy friend, what's your geek cred?
I mean, I consider myself a geek because I seem to tick a lot of the geek boxes. I'm a huge fan, for instance, of the comic book genre.
Mm-hmm.
Big sci-fi reader. Yep. Love a good sci-fi. You know, obviously the great franchises, your Star Trek and your Star Wars, get me all a quiver. I just love the depth. I think it's a depth thing. I think the difference between a geek and maybe somebody else is that instead of just watching Star Wars or watching Star Trek, you go off and you learn Klingon.
Right. Dothraki.
Exactly. Or Dothraki. Actually, that's quite a tough language to learn. So it's that whole thing that you dig deeper, that you go just that little bit. Well, not just a little bit sometimes, they're completely
quite a lot
far into the depths of it. Yeah. And you don't just watch a TV series, you live it. You know, you absolutely love it and, you know, you associate yourself with the characters.
Yep.
Like I say, definitely into the comic books, definitely into the sci-fi, definitely into the big films. And the whole, I've just found an absolute love for all the different subcultures that sit within the geekdom. Recently, exploring the world of cosplay, though not myself dressing up, but just looking at other people dressing up. And it's just that passionate and enthusiasm for what to some people on the outside may seem a relatively small niche subject. I think that is a geek. Because you can be a baseball geek and know every stat possible there is, or an Aussie football geek or soccer geek. Or
we just call them one-eyed fans. They don't like to admit that they're geeks, but yeah, that's...
No, but it's that depth that some of you are going to. As far as sort of geeky stuff that I did or have done in the past, I spent a good chunk of my career playing a real-life version of Missile Command.
Nice.
which is fine and dandy, unless you forget that you're actually looking after real missile systems. And you suddenly think, ooh, and you press the red button and turn the wrong key, and then suddenly you're looking at an Armageddon. So that's not so great.
Yeah,
you do have to separate. Yeah. I do remember coming in shift, having spent the last 6 hours playing Doom, and thinking, I'm really going to have to focus and not just go slapping any old keys that I come across. Fortunately, there was a lot of fail-safes, so I didn't manage to destroy anybody unintentionally.
I've often wondered whether the... You know, all the NASA people used to play Moonlander a lot. I love Moonlander. I'd always run out of fuel, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I'm sure. Again, they're sort of saying, now remember, this is a real lander.
Yeah, that's right.
It's probably a sign as they come into the mission center.
Yeah.
Remember, this is not a game. Saying I work with computers pretty much in all facets of the different jobs I've done. Even when I moved on to cruise ships, I was looking after the computers on board the ship, doing cable monkey work as well as all the other high-end stuff, database work and creating customer service applications and, you know, all that.
You're a mega geek. All right. We'll give you a geek with a capital G.
I do. And like yourself, I'm proud. I think that's a... I love that name. I think geek sums up my passion for all things geeky. I certainly would never say to somebody, "I'm not a geek. How dare you?
No.
I'm an aficionado of the
Yeah.
computer game." So, yeah. So I've done all that, and as far as podcasts go, like a share, I've come from one of the longest running WoW podcasts out there, Control WoW, run by the wonderful Aprillion, and I also managed to dabble with a few other podcasts in the past. Many of those have died a death after the first episode, so hopefully this is not one of
This
those.
better not be one of those, or I'll be very unhappy with you.
Kiss of death, Jepsen, as he comes along and says, "Okay, I think we'll do another podcast." Episode one, dead.
Lucky this one's episode minus one then. So you got two more to go. You got zero and one before you're allowed to bail out.
Maybe we should make it -100.
Now there you go.
So just had so geek with some podcast experience. Hopefully that gives us some credentials to be allowed into your ears on a weekly basis.
I would hope so.
And if not, you can just get stuck.
Yeah, which brings us to this podcast and how we came to giving birth to it.
Yeah, which sounds quite graphic, but it was literally that painful. Actually, there's about 1,000 women that just went, "Oh, you did not just say that." No, I didn't. I didn't say that. That's ridiculous.
I think he implied
There's
it.
nothing more painful than birth.
Nothing.
Okay?
Nothing
Nothing.
whatsoever.
Not
This
even a
is
kick in the
nothing like
pants.
that. This is some other sort of birth, like birthing a new ship. No? All right.
No, birth, that's BERTH, I think. Birth, yeah, I think I'm
That's
pretty
true.
certain about that.
I said I was good with numbers, not with spelling.
Ah, there you go. It was certainly an interesting process, I think we can both say.
We knew we wanted to try something different. We didn't know exactly what or what to call it.
Now, there were some fundamentals that we hadn't thought about initially, such as the name, the concept, the logo, the music, all the stuff that a podcast may well need as it grows up.
Apparently, you have to do stuff to make podcasts start to work.
I know. I thought we just talked into a tin can and there it was, but
But
no. There's all sorts of bells and whistles that need to be attached. Weirdly enough, we went for name first because you'd think that actually we'd decide upon the type of podcast we were going to do before we actually talked about a name. It's difficult because so many people have taken all the good names.
all the good names are gone.
All the good names have gone. And I have no idea. And the most frustrating thing for me, and I think for you as well, was thinking, go having this light bulb moment and thinking,
Yes.
okay,
Oh,
that's a
yes. That's a
damn fine name.
brilliant idea. Yeah, look.
Popping onto GoDaddy, where you buy your domain names from, or at least I did until they banned me from overbuying, and to find that not only is it not available, but if you did want to get it, some dude has been sat on it for the last 4 years and they wanted £10,000 for it.
Exactly. Or some dude's got the Twitter handle and he's done one tweet 5 years ago.
Oh. And that's the other thing as well, is the synchronicity between all the elements. You want the Twitter, you want the Gmail, you want the web address, you want the Podbean address, you want the Blogspot. You don't want to have people typing a different name for each element
That's
of
right.
your sort of stream.
And they're not going to type it in and they're not going to remember.
No, exactly. And also, you don't want one that says, I mean, we're going to look for a podcast about WoW and other things.com, but it's a bit long. It's a bit long. And a lot of people would like go, okay. So you want something that's short and snappy and actually says what it does on the tin. We definitely went down a few bad routes.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Oof, oof.
Oh,
We're not going to tell you what some of those names were
no.
because you'd hate us forever.
There was one particular name that we paid for and registered and set everything up, and I thought this is brilliant. It's just, my God, we're clever. It's got all that references to Battle.net, and it kind of rhymes, and it's all awesome. And you mentioned it to some people, and they went, "Ooh, that's no, you don't want to go
Sadly,
there."
it had some rather nasty historical connotations, which, although when we said it to ourselves, but as we kept saying it to ourselves, it just sounded so normal and didn't have this sort of blackened history.
Didn't have any negative connotations at all.
No. But our focus group told us no. No. So that one went by the wayside. As Ashay said, after we'd gone some way to creating a brand for it, including a logo and all the other malarkey that goes with this. But anyway, After much toing and froing and backing and forthing.
Oh, toing and froing, like as in a boomerang.
Oh, yeah. That was another one that we
Oh, that was
almost.
another one. And I tell you what,
What was it?
people,
Blizzarang.
don't ever ask Jeppy to draw you a logo that's got boomerangs on
Ah, oh, mate, that was a fantastic logo. I had no idea what was wrong with it. I didn't know I was dealing with a boomerang aficionado.
Oh, well, I mean, you know,
Ah, well, that's an
I'm from
African boomerang,
Australia.
mate.
Yeah.
You know, that there's
That
a Southern Tasmanian.
boomerang is not going to come back. You're dreaming. That's a stick, dude.
I'm trying to do a logo and he's talking about aerodynamics. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So that one bit the dust. Not because of my logo, by the way, but because it was a khaki name. But what we wanted to do, and hopefully what will be a slight differentiation between this podcast and others, is
The one or two other whale podcasts that are out there.
yeah, the 212 whale podcasts that you have to choose from is the geekiness of it. All whale podcasts, by their very nature, are geeky because whale, by its very nature, as a PC MMO, is relatively geeky. And I think anybody who plays whale on a regular basis needs to stand up and be proud of the geek title.
Raise the hand.
Raise the hand, raise the iPad, and they need to say, "Yes, I am geeky and I am proud." But they one thing we're looking to do is have a nice flow between the world of geek and the world of wow and back and forth and so on and so forth.
We wish to intertwine the two because they are
Exactly.
very intertwined in our lives. And when you told me that geekly wasn't taken, I was like, what? What? What do you mean? On what parallel universe could no one have already taken geekly? I mean, that just
Geekly.
seems.
No. It didn't seem right. I kept checking. I checked on several different sites to make sure it was actually physically available. It didn't seem right. And I have to say, there was a small part of me, the goblin part of me, was saying, "This is such a good title, I might not give it to a show. I might just try and sell I'll buy that and I'll stick it on the auction."
We have people cursing at you same way that we were cursing at people who were sitting on domains we wanted to use.
If I could reach into the internet and slap people about the face and arms, I certainly would have done while we were going through the whole naming process.
Yeah.
Because you'd lay there sort of in the early hours of the morning, and you'd just suddenly go, "Bding, yes!" And you'd rush to the computer, or you'd grab up the iPad and you'd type into GoDaddy the fantastic name that you know that nobody possibly could have ever
No
thought
one
of
would
in
have
the
come up with
past.
that. Yeah.
Bang, £10,000.
Yeah.
Not that we ever considered paying any money for the actual domain name, but still. So here we are, well, Geekly.
Awesome.
It was a hard battle, but at the end, I think we actually ended up with a fantastic name. I actually love well, Geekly
I
as well.
love it. I love it. Good job. And if you hate it, let us know, because we'd love feedback. We love serious feedback and not so serious feedback.
If you hate the name, keep it to yourself, to be honest. You're just not here to spend 20 minutes telling you how awfully painful it was trying to get a name. Shayo.
But we are after ser I'll be serious for 5 seconds. We are after constructive feedback. If
Yes.
you have things that you think, oh, that's so negative, and I don't want to, I can't tell them that. I can't tell them that that bit sucks. Well, guess what? We're rather thick-skinned, and we want to hear that, and we want to produce something that you want to listen to.
And that is the other hopefully relatively unique thing about this podcast. It's organic and dynamic, and we're aiming to produce a product that we enjoy doing. Obviously, that's top of the
That's
list,
top of the
but
list.
also that you people and our dear listener love to listen to. And so the best way of making sure you get the type of show you want to hear is to let us know the stuff you like and the stuff you don't like. And as the show says, brutal honesty, constructive feedback, all
Always
good.
welcome.
Tick, tick, tick.
Alrighty, so that pretty much wraps up what we wanted to do with episode zero. Again, this isn't a normal structured episode. It's something to get out into the feed to let you know who we are and what we're doing. And hope you can join us next week for episode one, where we'll be talking about awesome things like, I think there might be a bit of 5.4 coming out on Tuesday.
Certainly for you, my friend, 5.4 is coming out. I'm starting to break into Northrend, so we'll talk about that as well.
Well, I'm surprised you got that far. I look forward to it.
So cheeky.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a good darn guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com. Over on Twitter, we're, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Or follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or, if you have a hankering to write more than 140 characters, email us, wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both. Upload complete.